Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, we have a blind tasting between a California Cabernet and a Chilean Cabernet to see which one is best and how much bias Scott actually has. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. You're wearing your dirty, nasty hat, too, that says the Wine Guy Wine Shop.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Mm-hmm.
Predates Rob the Wine Guy. We had a local purveyor who opened a wine shop called the Wine Guy Wine Shop.
As ugly as that hat is, I think it predates hats as well. So
I like it.
I know you do. But also on the show tonight is the Triple B.
Good evening.
Yes. On tonight's show, folks, what we have is we have two Cabernets that will be pitted together, pitted against each other and together, because they're working together, I suppose, to give us enjoyment and, you know, loveliness.
Are they working together or are they,
I don't know,
bipartisan?
They're working together like Thomas the Train would be. Working together. Nobody knows that. Anyway.
We do. We sing it all the time.
That's true.
Not like Mitch and Chuck.
No, not like Mitch and Chuck. Turtle.
<That's> very funny.
Nevertheless, we have.
Remind me to tell you something off air.
That's true.
Tell us now.
No. Mm. No. Don't interrupt.
I want to hear what she has to say.
Know your place.
Unlike you.
Anyway.
I want to hear what she has to say.
Two wines, folks. Okay. Both Cabernets. But Becky and Scott don't know what Cabernets these are. They don't know where they're from. And they don't know much about them. So tonight we're going to taste them semi-blind. But we're also I'm going to read the reviews for these wines. And then you're going to tell me what score the reviewer actually gave them. So there are many things that we're going to do tonight.
This is fun.
Lots of points will be associated.
Rob and I did this one night. He read the review to me, mm-hmm. and it was so funny because, I mean, I think that both the ones that you read to me had gotten really high reviews.
True.
But it's still so funny because no one says this one tastes like poop. You know, but
actually, that's normally something one tastes like feces. Yeah. 93 of my book. Yeah.
Drink or hold.
Yes.
I like it. It sounds great. I'm back on the show. Wilfred Wong here. There was some miscommunication, and we clarified who I was. And the Triple B thought I sounded like Gilbert Godfrey, but I don't. So I'm allowed back on the show. Thank you. So, folks.
Not the Fry Brothers.
No. Although maybe this is the Fry Brothers.
Hey,
we make great wine. No, they sound more like a coked out Kermit the Frog.
Hey,
kind of. Maybe. So, folks, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be right back with wine number one here on the Wine Vault.
Hey, everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
And we're back, folks. So, wine number one. And Scott, don't try to make me say it.
You know, off air, we were talking about Mike Pence and power tools.
Yes, we were. He's known as the jackhammer in certain circles, but that's okay. Anyway, That's a off-color joke that no one really knows what I mean. But if you think about it kind of hard, if you know what I mean, you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So, where's the Bianco? Anyway.
Oh.
I know. Wine number one. Now, I'm going to read a couple reviews for this wine. Okay? One of them's redacted because the idiot said the name of the wine. But you'll figure out why that idiot would say that because he's an idiot. So, the reviews for this wine. The first one. This is James Suckling, by the way. You have to qualify it, so you know the score might be higher than what you normally would think. So
that would help.
Yes, yes. Okay. This is very ripe, with lots of intense fruit. Hints of walnuts. Toasted, as a full sentence. Turns to dried flowers. Medium to full-bodied. I couldn't quite make up my mind. Lots of mountain tannins.
Mountain tannins.
Flavorful finish with freshness. Drink
this
me.
This is maybe like a Colorado wine, like a Rockies.
Drink me or hold me.
Oh, my Lord.
Yes. And then the second one, yes. Are you ready?
I am ready. This is Wilfred Wong.
Now, is this
what?
The second review of the first wine? Or it's a review of the second wine?
This is the first wine.
Okay.
Yeah. What's wrong with you? Anyway, commentary. Blank Cabernet Sauvignon is a beautiful wine. Tasty notes.
It's hard for me to understand what you're saying.
That's okay. This wine shows excellent depth, smoothness, and balance. Its aromas and flavors of dusty black fruit, anise, and leather should pair it well with a finely grilled ribeye and mango chutney.
No, he didn't.
No.
Mango.
So that's the wine number one. So we have a couple reviews there. Now you guys can write down what you think those were, and we'll get to that. Lots of points can be awarded tonight.
Oh, we get points for...
Oh, yes.
Oh.
So instead of the scores of integrity, it's the predicting scores based on the review.
Okay, scores of no integrity.
Well,
James and...
Wilford.
A.K.A. Willie.
A.K.A.
The Double W.
Yes. A.K.A. The Night Fox.
What?
It's hard. Okay. Ooh.
Do explain that.
No.
Doesn't matter. Anyway.
Night Fox because he kind of runs in this zigzag pattern when he's out.
Actually,
on
not.
The town.
Actually, no. It's not why it is that, but that's okay.
That's right.
I wrote down what I think James scored it and what Wilfred scored it.
Sorry. Just figured out why he's called the Night Fox. That's okay. Anyway.
You know, sometimes you might have the backstory ready before you pull out the nickname.
Well, there is a backstory, but the backstory I thought of after the fact is even better than the one I just said before.
Well.
So here we go. In the glass first, folks, this looks
dark.
We're
not going to get to one, two's review?
No, we're going to do that in a separate segment.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, Rob's rules.
We wanted to get some rewards, some scores, some, you know.
Due time.
Okay. You're getting the stink eye from the Triple B. She's not approving of your procedure.
Rob either. Gets no stink eye from me today.
You better not, no. She was in there. Anyway, I made a bad deal. And anyway... She, meaning Becky. You, yes, for the next 10,000 years, all of her gifts rolled into one, was a closet organizer by who?
The Container Store.
Yes, Alpha, whatever it is. Anyway, massive, massive motherfucker. Anyway.
Our closet's huge, though.
Well, that's fine. So she's
not
in there.
Huge, huge, but I mean, you could fit a crib, an office in there. Like, it's a big room.
You got a big walk-in closet.
The Astrodome, all those things. But anyway.
The Astrodome.
She's sitting there.
The Houston Astrodome.
No, the one
doesn't exist anymore, so that could go in a shoebox.
No, that's why I said that. No, don't you think? So anyway, she was sitting there trying to put these brackets together, but not really. I mean.
I was trying.
I mean, you weren't. the rubber mallet was vexing her how to use it. So I realized she's just sitting there fucking around, so I'll actually do it. So then I finished it. It took her, what? Well, she never actually got, like, one of the shelf linings.
But I got the rods hung up at the top.
Those just hang in like that, and you got in the wrong spot.
Hey,
counting.
Hey, Hey, Rob, how you doing? Oh, how'd you get that black eye? Oh, Becky figured out how to use the rubber mallet, did she?
No, she wouldn't. She'd get lost trying to use it. But anyway, finished it. I said, you know what? She was just acting like she couldn't do it. Probably not acting. Just so I would finish it for her.
But you finished it in like 15 minutes.
I finished it in 3 minutes. It was very difficult.
He's working on that black eye right now, folks.
Her and her friends that get vexed by Screwtop Real Sangria. Close personal friends. Anyway, in the glass, folks. Wine number one.
Bitter. What's he even bitter for? I don't understand.
Well, he realized he made a bad deal.
Oh, shit.
Because this could be a whole potpourri. But so my closet, this is a special anniversary for Rob and I. This is our 10-year. And this is like Valentine's Day, anniversary, push present, like literally everything. But Rob, why don't you tell our listeners what you got?
They already know.
Which is very nice.
Ponet Canet.
And it was a nice bottle of wine.
And all the other things that I've bought randomly here to and fro. So I have enough wine to feed a small army if I were so inclined, but I'm not. I'm just going to drink it all myself.
Yeah, you're not going to share it.
I'm going to be a drunk 65-year-old in 40 years. That's all I can say.
40 years.
40
years. 40
years. Scott will be, is a drunk 65-year-old in 1983.
Oh, the maths.
I know. So let's look. Okay. Wine number one, though. Center up. Be professional. On the nose, definitely raspberry and vanilla.
There's some savory fruit in there as well.
Yeah, I don't always catch prune when you all do, but this smells like prune to me.
Yeah.
It's not always as prevalent to me, but it's pretty strong in this.
It's intense fruit. I'm sorry. It's intense fruit.
That's about all I got.
It's a nice nose.
Yeah, it is nice. It's pretty dark in the glass, too.
It is.
Is this is the one that they said was from the mountains?
Mountain tannins.
Mountain tannins. Tannins. Just the tannins.
They were just flown in.
Just, yeah.
But not the...
Yes. The Pyrenees Mountains, to be specific.
So weird. It's like
Krakatoa.
It's like... What's that game where you have to match up words?
Balderdash.
Like... Apples to apples, or like Cards Against Humanity, that sometimes their reviews are like that, where they just put like the most random shit together.
I don't know what you mean.
You all are drinking it. Okay. I was going to say, just based off the nose, I would guess California. That's all. But I guess we're drinking. The tannins are really brambly. I like that.
It has a rusticness to it. Well, that's the mountain tannin.
I know. Now that I've made fun of it, I'm like, I kind of see why you said that.
Yes. Who's laughing now? Apparently everybody at me, but I don't know why. Yes. Any thoughts, Scott?
It's not this most complex thing.
Right.
Nah.
The tannin,
it's mountain
backbone tannin. Is definitely the star of the show. But there's a nice expression of
the show savory being fruit the show from, being like TJ Hooker level show, but still yes.
Well,
it's William Shatner for TJ Hooker.
What are your thoughts on the oaking?
Current.
It's light. It's lightly oaked.
It is lightly oaked. That surprised me. I expected more based off the vanilla.
Well, I can tell you. 40% new French oak.
Oh, okay.
For 16 months. 100% Cabernet, by the way.
When it reads like that 40% new French oak... Did we decide that means 40% of the wine is aged or 40% of the oak is new?
It's a good question.
We don't know.
I mean, yes.
Yeah, because the way you write that, you would say 40% of the wine is aged in new French oak, but this is 40% of it is new French oak. So the other is,
you know what?
Probably stainless.
I think that's what
probably
they,
stainless.
Is that what they call a?
Or it could be 40%
modifier
used French oak.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
know you don't know what it means.
I bet 60% is on stainless, and then they do 40 in oak, and then blend it. That's probably what I would guess.
Not Garriques. Concrete Garriques.
This is a nice drinker, though. It's not crazy. It's not complex, but it's...
No.
It's... The other thing I feel like, we've talked about this before, is when you have a cab, especially something 100% cab, people feel like it needs to be like, you know, the most full-bodied wine you've ever had. And
that was
this
a good
isn't...
Sip. That was a good sip.
Yeah, this isn't super full-bodied. I would say, like, medium, leaning towards full.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, high medium. Mm.
Yeah.
That was a good savory sip right
Whatever
there.
Whatever the schmedium is for medium to large, that's what this is. But it's a nice drink.
No, that actually was a very good sip. You have to get plenty on your palate to really get it to go. It's still, I mean, it still is what it is. But wonderful savory fruit.
And... You know, because of the simplicity of the wine, I think that little bit of oaking that you get on the palate is nice.
Yeah.
If this were more complex, I'm not sure that oak would come out as much.
Yeah.
And it's a nice kind of peppery oak kind of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the fruit is, you know, prune. With a little bit of currant.
Yeah, currant. Mm-hmm. I'm more for the currant than the prune on the palate.
The prune is how it kind of lingers out.
Yes.
But there isn't...
also maybe like a blackberry in there, too.
At the front.
Yeah, the tartness of a blackberry. But it's not acidic, really.
I don't find it
but
too
it's,
acidic.
It's fairly astringent. It's not the driest thing, but it's fairly astringent.
Fairly.
It's a nice, I mean, it's an easy, nice drinking wine.
Where does everybody say it's from? Mount Fuji.
The Rockies.
The Appalachian Mountains.
I'm going South America. Oh. My first two tastes, I'm not getting it anymore. I did get a little vegetal.
It's Mount Pleasant in Lancaster, Ohio. Scott says, okay, so let's start off here. Scott says, wine number one is South America. Do you know where in South America? Becky says.
So
that's a great, great singing right there.
Off the nose, I would have said... Californian just because of the vanilla, but I would have to agree with Scott because this is it's just not a sledgehammer of a cab that makes me think it's not Californian. So I would guess somewhere in South America.
Okay, there's two countries. Well, no, there's three.
What's the third?
Uruguay.
What did we do?
Peru, too.
What was it, a Carmenere we did from Uruguay?
Tenet, wasn't it?
Tenet.
No. It was Marzalan.
Yeah, I knew it was
yet another wine that I wasn't part of.
That's correct. You weren't part of that. It was very nice. It's in the Hall of Fame.
We were criticized for that.
Yeah, well, we're always criticized. Not as much as last week, the Krios, which is great.
But it was pretty good.
It's better than this, but...
It was pretty daggone good.
It was really great. Yeah, so first wine, they both say South America. Now let's go, well, you know what? Let's reveal, first of all, we're going to reveal what the wines are after we drank both of them. But we're going to take a break because we're going to come back and do wine number two.
I'm going Mendoza.
Mendoza in Argentina.
Yep.
Argentina.
We have to tell a country name.
It would help. Don't cry for me, Argentina.
I don't really know
Don't cry for me, Argentina. I could be an Evita. Sing that part.
I'm gonna go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna be so ticked at you if it's Uruguay, but I'm gonna go Chile just to be different than Scott, but in the same area. I don't know the.
Stealing my South America.
Well, I would have thought Cab for sure from the. I mean, I would have thought California from the nose, but not from the.
Scott, I need to give palette. You full credit when you said Mendoza. Because you're trying to get more points than Becky, aren't you? This isn't the same game as up there, but that's not the point.
I was just going to say, I don't know enough between Argentina and Chile, and certainly not Uruguay, to differentiate between.
What about Peru?
You're going to get a middle finger.
There's also Brazilian wines, but we don't have any of those. So, folks, we're going to take a break and be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So on to wine number deux. Now, in the glass. Oh, I'm supposed to read the reviews, aren't I? I will do that.
Oh, yeah, wine two. Okay.
Wine two.
Where did you say in, what kind of Argentinian wine, Scott?
Mendoza, which is
kind of Uco Valley.
Oh. I feel like you maybe bought this or something for you to be that confident.
I didn't say I was confident. I'm just...
Providing.
Throwing some bullshit out there.
There we go. You do good with that.
Well.
Okay, so the first review for this second wine. Yes, I'm back again. Of course, I reviewed this wine. And I wrote, freshly baked berry pastry aromas with a wealth of ripe, fleshy plums on the palate here.
Did you find wines that were reviewed by James and Wilford?
It just happens that way. Anyway, the tannins are quite fresh and nicely defined. That's what I had to say.
More tannins, okay.
And then, they don't have a voice, but there were five of them that night, so they had a quorum. It was the tasting panel. Wilford, would you like to read this?
Sure, I'll read it for them, because I didn't review this wine. They never sent it to me.
In a normal voice.
I could read in the Pinot file, and you understand it in the Pinot file. Anyway, smooth, with elements of tangy plum and spice. Fresh, lush, and balanced with a lengthy finish.
That's all they wrote.
I write more than that. I have tasty notes and commentary. Or commentary and tasty notes. I don't know. It's from my diary. It's embarrassing.
What about sometimes your food pairings, Wilford?
What about them? Tank mango chutney.
Sometimes you list food pairings.
They don't eat food. They eat Twinkies and Hot Pockets. I've been over there before.
Hot Pockets.
You know, Billy's mom does make good food. She makes those little bagel bites. They're delicious.
Who's Billy?
What?
Who's Billy?
He's on the tasting panel, stupid.
Oh.
Yeah. So, sometimes my mom lets me stay over there past 10:30. But not on a school night.
Does she know?
I knew you were going to say that.
Does she know you're having Totinos in the basement?
Shut up. She doesn't let me eat after 9. She said I sound like a gremlin, so I can't eat late.
I knew you were going to say that.
What?
All right, so what? I don't even know what to write down as scores.
Well, high, probably. Because I am.
Isn't it so hard based off of their reviews to come up with a score?
Don't you know what it is by now?
I feel like it could be a 75 to a 95. Like it's.
If the tasting panel gets out of 75, the world is ending.
Yes.
So hard.
If James Suckling.
What?
Wrote, has he ever had a wine review that started with an 8?
Yes.
I don't
know. Los Vascos.
Sorry, it was 88.
Yes, it was. It was quite poor. We didn't give it 88s. So, wine number 2, though, in the glass, it looks like wine number 1, actually. Maybe slightly purplier, if that's a word.
Purplier.
Purplier.
I think that's appropriate.
Purplish.
How about purply?
Purple.
Purply.
Purply.
This
I think
has...
you can get a shot for that.
Mm. What? Chalky?
There's an oddball to the nose, and not just the chalkiness. There's vegetal. Like a...
chalky vegetalness.
I wasn't going to say vegetal. I was honestly going to go with, it reminds me of a soap or a shampoo.
Only
or something like that.
Only the finest of noses.
I don't hate it, but there's something in there. And I'm trying to think if it's a product that one of us use.
Pralines and cream.
Astroglow. No.
Oh, God.
So I brushed my teeth with pralines and cream toothpaste.
That's so nice.
From powder.
That's great.
It's a powder. Do you smell that? Is it something? Is it a familiar scent to you?
It smells like Vaseline. No.
There's something. Like a.
That's a zesty smell.
Like a
yeah.
coffee flavoring. Like,
oh, coffee.
Like a coffee no. flavoring. Like a flavoring you would add coffee.
No, it does smell like zest. The soap zest.
Is
when
that
you
what
pull
it is?
Deep, yes. The, when you dress, nuts caress. Zest.
You're not fully clean unless you're zestfully clean.
Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then your skin dries out because this stuff's terrible.
You're not fully clean unless you're zestfully clean. Is it zest?
Zest.
Do you smell? You smell. I'm so glad you smell it.
Also Irish Spring because they smell the same.
No, one has a more minty
I don't,
aroma.
I'm just saying. Mint. It is slightly minty, though.
I think that's what the smell-related soap is.
It's a dirty
but
mint.
But I go, to, there's that, like, coffee.
Bo makes every damn noise in the
world. Flavor. I don't know. Hazelnut. There's a weird.
Hazelnut.
There's
oh,
a weird. That's what I was getting that pralines and
maybe.
Thing.
Yeah, I could see that, too.
It's a real.
Do you think...
Yeah, yeah, there is a bit of a hazelnut, kind of walnutty smell.
Something like that.
Yeah, kind of those shitty, waxy nuts. These nuts, I believe is what it is, yes.
Jesus.
Those are my favorites.
I was going to try to have plums. An intelligent thought, but it's gone.
I wouldn't waste my time on that.
Go away. I can't imagine the pressure.
It does, it almost has a little bit of a... you know those machines at gas stations where you can get French vanilla cappuccinos?
Yes, but I don't
it
use
those.
It
has that scent to it. That's on the nose.
Yeah, it's like a artificial coffee
yes.
flavor.
Mm. I see what you mean now. Yes. I was so obsessed with that soap smell, but that's also there.
And for me it's more mint than the soap smell, but
mm.
but in the way that soap has a minty smell to it.
Mm.
Terrified to smell to taste it now that we've identified gas station.
But there's nothing unappealing about this nose. It's just slightly unusual, and for what it is, it's rather subtle.
Yeah, it is subtle. Do you want to taste it first?
I'll gladly taste it first. Are you afraid of this?
Because it has soap.
Because it smells like shit.
But it's really not soap.
A gas station coffee.
But it doesn't smell like shit.
Oh, it does. It's a little shitty.
No, it's just unusual.
It's old Brion. Drink it, Becky. Drink up your glass.
Wouldn't that have been a funny review from James Suckling? Zest. French vanilla.
Little acidic and a little...
To me, it is just a lot of vanilla. Okay.
No, well, I taste a lot of Baker's chocolate because of the oak, but I think the oak is well done. And it gives the wine
you don't
depth
get a little,
and weight. You don't like it.
I'm getting a little sour oak at the end.
You do?
That's, that's the part of the oak that's discerning to me.
Discerning or
I like
concerning?
The oak until I got to the end, and there's a little sour oak.
Well, I can taste, I believe you'll find that these are alluvium soils, probably, because you can taste the limestone terroir that's just streaking through this wine. The oak is a little bit bigger in this wine. Oh, I don't know if it says, I don't know what the numbers are with it, but let me see if I can find it real quick. We'll flip to my page. I'll make lots of rustling noises. Oh, it does say. Oh, it is alluvium soil. There we go. It's 9 months in third used French oak barrels. And I was right. It's alluvium soil. I must be a wine expert. Who knows? That's what I'm tasting. I'm tasting that.
Well, you read it already.
No, I never saw that.
Excellent call, Scott.
Nope. But I don't have a wine guy hat on. That's orange and looks like I was in a fishing accident.
It's a wine shop hat.
It's a wine shoppy. It should be a wine shop hat. PPE. That's how I would spell my wine shoppy.
What? PPE?
S-H-O-P-P-E. Shoppy.
Oh, I thought you meant like, what does PPE stand for? Protective personal?
Personal protective equipment.
Yeah, that's what I.
Sure.
That's why I was like, why would you name your wine shop that?
Cha-cha. Yes, I don't know why. Because it's fantastic. Becky, what are your thoughts on this wine? Yay, nay.
This wine, to me, is probably the reason why a lot of people say they like Cab.
Say they like Cab?
Yeah, because it has a lot of oaking in it. It's pretty full-bodied, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it is, I don't know, not to be whatever, but the reason why I when people say that's what they love, that I judge them.
Oh, so you think it's a wine that only a chode would like, basically?
I don't say that word. Okay. But I would just say it's a pretty one-dimensional wine.
You can say that. I mean, we're all friends here.
It's simpler to say that it's a wine a chode would like sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. That's not very nice.
It's very direct.
Okay.
It's true, but, you know.
It's pretty harsh, but it is. Don't you think that when people... This is when people are like, I only drink cabs. I love cabs, blah, blah, blah. This is the wine that they're talking about.
No, really.
Why do you hate it so much? I don't understand.
I don't hate it. I just feel like...
No, I meant Scott. He just said Cho would drink it.
No, I was mocking what you said.
Well, you said a wine that Cho would like.
That's what I said. Sometimes it's easier to just say, this is a wine that a Cho would like.
I just think there's a lot better wine out there. I think that there's a lot better representations of cab. To me, this screams a Cali cab. I don't know what you all think, but the oaking, it's pretty fruity. Yeah, that's what I think.
So you think it's Cali?
Yeah.
Any particular part of Cali?
Part of me thinks it's Cali, but I don't know.
Cali.
Yeah. I don't know.
Scott, what do you think?
I'm not done tasting it.
I also feel like this is the cab I've had 100 times at an open bar.
That's harsh.
What I mean, though? In a plastic cup. We've all had this cab before.
Ooh. I haven't, but I appreciate it better than that.
Oh, you appreciate it more than I do?
I mean, it's fine. It's better the first time you drink it than the second and the third time.
Yeah.
You can drink it. Partly because we've had so many bad things on this show. Yeah. This is not one of
them.
That's true. Yes.
I'm just still trying to... There's one thing about this wine. Mm. There's that little expression of acidity in the mid palate, almost at the front of the finish.
Yeah.
Trying to decide if I like that or not. I can't get my head wrapped around it. Part of me likes it.
There's something at the very beginning that almost is like lime to me.
Yes, the alluvium soils. How many times do I have to say this? That's the terroir of the wine speaking.
Well, I'm telling the listeners.
You mean lime the fruit or yes, lime the powder?
Lime the fruit.
Oh, okay, well, that's not
accurate. I'm telling you at the beginning of the wine that there's something bright.
Okay.
That is like a lime.
Yeah, like a little citrus thing going on there.
There is a little bit of a citrus thing. I know what you're talking about.
Not the alluvium soil, not the limestone. Don't tell me what I am saying. I'm telling you the lime at the beginning of the wine. At the beginning of the palate. What?
Nothing. I was just singing a song. Middle finger, where are you? There's a kid's song. It's what? Mommy finger? That's creepy. Is it Coco Melon?
I don't know. I think it's been around before Coco Melon. I think Terrifying. Henry sang it.
Anyway, so it's
to
like,
teach kids the digits. Like the index finger.
So then you would do middle finger.
Yeah.
So
I think daddy finger is the middle
finger. Oh, daddy is. So they do daddy finger. Where are you? Here I am. How do you do? So I said, middle finger, where are you? Here I am. Here I am. How do you do? There we go.
Brother finger, brother finger, where are you?
It's terrifying.
Here I am. Here I am. How do you do?
A lot of those songs are scary.
They are. Coco Melon. Folks, look it up, but not around Luke because he'll never leave you alone.
Yeah,
Coco, I want Coco.
Coco,
put the password in.
Coco Men.
Now, I want pizza? You got cheesa? Where's my cheesa? Give me the pizza. God,
pizza's good.
Be one thing if he wasn't naked while he was eating it. Naked kid eating pizza.
It's just, you know, he's just living after his old man.
I know. Scott, where is this wine from?
I think we've talked about it enough.
Talk about it. What do you have to say? What do you have to say, Scott? You haven't said much. You've said, and then you go, then you go, and then you go, acidity. Then you go, don't know if I like it or not. Bo, what are your thoughts on this wine?
Yeah, there's a bright...
Gosh, sorry, Bo jumped on me. It scared the crap out of me.
I didn't mean to laugh at you, but
it was a sneak attack.
It was a sneak attack.
How dare he?
He's been on my list this week, so. What else is new?
I think it's just a little bit of like sour cherry like thing at the front.
Well, yeah.
Instead of lime, like a little sour cherry, like really tart, but it's just there quickly.
Mm.
Are you sticking by lime citrus?
I like lime citrus. I honestly don't want to drink anymore because I don't like it.
You don't care for it.
And the oaking at the end is a lot. And so...
I think it's just a linear...
I would...
greenish fruit wine that has a little bit of acidity. The oaking makes it a little bit murky. It is a little bit murky. It's a Los Vascos kind of thing. I mean, I'm not saying where it's from or anything, but... it reminds me of something that's murky like that type of wine where you go, what's going on here? Don't look under your pillow. Don't open the door. Cab? Not completely, but it's high percentage of cap. Yes.
What else is in it?
I can't divulge that information.
Okay.
That might be telling. Or might not be. Who knows? But it does have a murkiness to it where it just comes across as somewhat muddled.
Going along with what you said, this is a wine that would give you a major hangover.
Yeah.
It would.
You wouldn't drink it that long to do that. I think a lot of it comes from the green fruits. And green fruits, I mean, there's a slight vegetal edge, but it's underneath everything. There's a weediness there, too. But it's underneath everything, so you don't notice it as being this prominent thing. Because it doesn't manifest itself fully, but it's affecting all the other things lightly. So that same compound that you would normally associate with vegetalness is just lightly just tainting everything through it. So either you like that, which you could, there's people that would like that, or you don't. And then when you put on top of that oak that adds a little bit of a smooth veneer to it, just smears it just a little bit. It just creates something that's unusual that not everyone will like.
It's a little disjointed.
Yes, it is, Scott.
The oaking is just disjointed from the rest of the wine. Aside from that acidity.
The way it comes across, it has a bit of a, it's not quite acrid, but there is almost a little bit of a slight lumpiness to it, where if it were just a little bit lighter and pulled back, just had like a whiff, you know, maybe just add a little spiciness to it. It just taints it just a little bit that you don't. It's just lightly tainted.
It needs some bigger tannins, which it just doesn't have.
Well, I don't think the tannins necessarily would do that. It's the fruit profile doesn't jive with everything else because it's tainted by that little bit of a weedy greenishness with that oak
and
there.
And I think that they pretty heavy-handedly oaked it to cover up some of that.
It's like,
maybe to give it some structure. I don't know.
But you know, each part of this wine has a little bit of, I wouldn't quite say flaw, but there's a little undesirable nature about it. But it kind of goes together okay. I don't hate this wine.
No, I don't hate it either.
It's
I wouldn't buy it, but I don't hate it.
Bad.
Yeah.
It's not.
I mean, only a chode would like it, but you know.
No, I think you know.
Would you buy it knowingly?
If you showed us the bottles and this was a popular wine, I would not be surprised. It wouldn't surprise
to
me.
The real question, would Josh Howley drink this?
I think people like him would probably drink
it. There you go. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Like-minded people, yeah. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back with some big reveals here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks, this time. So, Scott off-air said on the second wine, he believes it's Cali Central Coast. Right, Scott?
Yeah. And it's very nondescript deserving of Cali Central Coast.
I feel like giving something a Central Coast designation guess is like, so showing how much you just don't like it. You know,
calling a woman a bad word.
Yeah. I was going to say being disrespectful, but it is.
No, there's that.
You know, like it is just.
There it is.
Yeah.
Well, but I'm not saying it's Central Coast, but it's wearing a Central Coast uniform, is what you're saying. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So the scores that you're going to provide it and the price that you're going to provide it. So what did you think James and Wilford gave wine number one? Scott.
92 and 90, respectively.
What do you think number one costs?
Wait, number one?
Number one.
$21.99.
Okay.
Of your American currency.
So BBB. James Suckling, Wilford Wong for wine number
for
one.
For wine number one, I put James Suckling, 89.
Mm.
Wilford Wong, 91.
Okay.
And I put that it cost $18.
That's excellent. Okay. On to wine number two. James Suckling tasting panel. And how much does it cost?
$93.90. And it only gives a 90 because Wilford Wong read the tasting panel review.
Mm. Oh. Thank you. And what's the score? Price. I'm sorry, I'm high. We're sniffing glue at Billy's house. What's that?
$11.99.
Went down a buck. Okay, $11.99. That's fair enough. Triple B.
I said James Suckling, 88, tasting panel, 89.
Cool.
Now, thinking more about this wine, I feel like I would also make a guess that this has some kind of gold sticker on it.
Oh.
For having won something.
Gold sticker.
Like.
See, now I would have gone rusty bronze and not for having won, just for having participated.
Did it win the rusty trombone award?
No, it didn't.
Random town, like Salem Wine Festival.
It won the Cleveland Steamer Wine Festival award.
But it didn't win. It just got a participation.
It was there. Right.
It participated in the Cleveland Steamer competition.
Good old oaken spit bucket participation
don't you think
award.
That this probably has a sticker on it?
Or an animal on the label.
You know what? It competed in the Angry Pirate Caribbean Wine Challenge.
Did you hear what Scott said?
Yes.
It has an animal on the label. That's a good one.
I think so.
That's really good.
Yeah, well.
Or it's a tribute wine. The wine's not really something wrong good. With it. I would say this is $14-ish dollars.
Oh, my God. You got a point.
Scott did?
Yeah.
Ah, good job, Scott.
Good job, Scott. So.
I'm going... 84 of my points.
Oh, you're reviewing number two. Because yes. You haven't reviewed number one yet.
87 of my points.
Okay, so an 87 and an 84, triple B.
For wine number one,
88.
I think it's lovely. I really do. The tannins in it are just really well done. Wine number two, I struggled with that review a little bit. The points just because... You know it's a cab. I feel like people like this wine.
Do you though? See, I don't think if he hadn't given it to us, we wouldn't have picked a cab on this. I wouldn't. I couldn't tell you this is cab. The acidity would have thrown me off.
What would you have said, Rob, that this wine was?
Wine number two?
Yeah.
I would have said a shitty Carmenier or a shitty Malbec.
I think I would have guessed a Cali
or ultra shitty Syrah. Then a shitty cab.
What level of, yeah. I'm giving it an 85, but honestly, like, my range would be 84, 85.
And for the first wine, I'm providing 87 of my points. It's a nice wine. Not truly exceptional or interesting, but good. Well-built wine. And number two, it's an 85, but let's just say 85s are not things I buy. Like Scott said, he had mentioned that a chode would buy it. Or you should be in jail if you bought it.
Actually, you said that.
No, you said a chode would buy it. And you also mentioned that Josh Hawley would like it, which is not a good thing.
I think he would buy it.
He probably would. And people are like-minded. So, 87, 87, 88 for the first wine. 85, 84, 85 for the second wine. What are they? Who won? We'll find that out soon as we come back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the reveal, the big reveal of the wines. And I never reveal these wines in the open either.
Oh, you didn't? Not even to the listeners?
No.
Oh.
So, the first wine, Becky and Scott both said they were from South America. Becky said Chile, Scott said Argentina.
I really only said that just to be different from Scott. I have no idea.
Well, you're both wrong.
Oh.
It was actually from the esteemed Napa Valley in California.
What?
And it's Martin Ray.
Very nice.
Folks. Martin Ray Cabernet.
Well, at least we knew the quality.
Yes. The mountains referring to, to be on Howl Mountain, because, in fact, it is sourced from Rutherford Stags Leap District, Howl Mountain, Oak Knoll.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
What's the price point of Martin Ray?
About $20. So I gave, so I did in that regard give both Becky and Scott credit for 1 point.
We kind of blanketed it, didn't we?
Yes. Now James Suckling, he provided 93 of his points. Oh, you said 92.
Yeah.
You got nothing, but you did say.
Oh my lord.
And Becky got nothing because she said 89.
Yeah.
How did I get nothing? I was a 1 point away.
Because you didn't get anything. You were wrong. But Wilfred Wong did provide it 90 of his points. And Scott had 90 of his points.
So I guess
you got a point.
92 and 90. And the scores are actually 93 and 90. And I only get 1 point.
You got it. You're correct. So far, Scott is up 2 points to one.
Oh, my lord.
And now moving on to the second one. Now, Scott.
I almost want to give this another point for being Californian and being so good.
Parliamentary procedure. Question.
I think you need to save your strength, dummy.
I was 1 point away. She was 5 points away. I deserve a second point.
Good for you. Anyway.
It's 3-0, folks.
Second.
I got 1 point.
You got 1 point. Anyway, the second wine. Scott said it was from Cali, Central Coast. Becky said Cali. Scott said it was a wine a chode would like. Also, Josh Holly, who's a chode, would like it. He also said it was from number two, meaning poop.
Yep.
Not a nice thing. You should be in jail. Becky said it had a gold sticker. Scott said an animal on the label. Well, in fact, it's not from Cali at all. Wow. It's not from North America.
This one's from South America.
It is from South America.
Really?
And I almost went that way when we talked about the veggie.
And it has a bull on the label.
Oh, it's that Kalku.
It's Kalku. It's a wine that Scott swears by, and it sucks.
Well, actually, so,
folks.
Oh, but I got a point.
How's that?
On the price.
You did. You get a point.
It's $13.99.
You did.
Well, she said $14 is what she said, actually.
That's pretty close.
No, so it's $90.
I was going to ask you how much you spent on it because it was you. Now, Scott.
But actually, the one I like better is the Cab Franc.
I don't care. Anyway, so, Scott loved this wine. It's terrible. But nevertheless.
I don't know that we ever had it home. We had the Cab Franc.
This is terrible. Anyway. Strangely enough, it doesn't
good
have
job
a gold sticker.
On the bull, though.
Yes,
that
you
was
did
a
say.
Really
well, you
good.
Said animal on the label,
so I get that point.
You do. Mm-hmm. Scott gets a point for animal on the label. You also got a point for a wine a chode would like because you're right. A chode would like this wine because you bought it. Now Becky gets a point for $14,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
What about the scores?
That's all I got.
Well, I don't know how you got that many because you didn't get that many. In reality,
you're taking points away from me.
Is your name B? I don't know how Becky had four. She has two. In reality, it was
I have two overall.
Yeah, Scott has four. Becky has two.
What were the scores? I don't think you went over the scores for Kalku.
Yeah, for Suckling.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's correct. I didn't say that. Suckling. Provided this wine 91 of his points. Sorry. Definitely not 93. Tasting panel. Oh my gosh, there's the point. Provided 89 of their points.
Oh, I did get three.
So Becky got a point there. So Becky gets three, you get four, you still win, Scott.
5 points. You erroneously didn't give me a point for 92 of James Suckling points.
Because that wasn't exactly right.
Oh my lord.
So.
Within 1 point is close enough.
Is it?
Yes.
Not for my standards.
Oh, my. You don't have no standards.
You lost. Well, you won, though, Scott.
But I won.
You won. Congratulations. But you still brought this thing to the show, and it's not very good.
No.
But nevertheless, yeah. You were very excited about this wine, too.
Except it was.
It was the whole point of this whole show, was this long joke.
It wasn't the one we had.
I don't care. Nevertheless, you know what got you guys?
Huh.
I put the fancier wine first, and I think internally, to talk about bias, they, in their mind, they think that the shittier wine will be first. I purposely, although I didn't particularly care for the Martin Ray when I had it once before, but I particularly put the wine that should be better first to throw them off, and it obviously worked.
Because normally, why is that? Because normally on the first episode,
maybe we have shitty wines.
And then the second episode,
better wines.
Wow. For a long time now, we've done the better ones on the first episode.
Tell me about last week.
Oh my God, the Krios
is so
good. What
did you do last week?
Tell me. So fantastic.
Tell me about what that was.
It was good.
Fucking great.
Huh.
Scott gave it a 91.
So for a long time you did it, and then you stopped, but then you brought it back.
I had nothing to do with it.
No.
That's true. It's all Rob.
But you didn't say, no, this is wrong. We shouldn't do this. You said, set me up. That's what you said.
The first one, there was nothing wrong with the first wine. No. It wasn't like it was a shitty one.
Perfectly good. Okay.
It wasn't as good as Susanna Balboa.
No, it wasn't. But Martin Ray, the first time I ever had it, didn't particularly care for it.
And it's...
It's fine, though.
It's fine, yeah.
It's
for the
about
price
20
point,
bucks.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's strong at that price. Well, it's average at that price range. The Cow Coup, Scott, you've had it. You loved it. It's gross.
I don't think we had the Cab Sauv. We had the Cab Franc.
Well, this is the 16, though, too. It behoove you to look at vintage. 16 is not a good year for Chile. And also, a lot of these green flavors, I think, are what's coming through for the agedness of this wine. If this were an 18 Cow Coup, it probably is good, because everything that's red and in Chile from 18 is good.
Really good.
And this is also another reason why we have this here. To tell you, vintages matter. Now, obviously, if you get too old, you're going to be fucked. But Chile, the 18 reds are particularly excellent. That doesn't mean 19. It doesn't mean 20 are going to be that good. It doesn't mean 17's good.
What's some examples we can show from our time doing the show? Zinfandels. The 14, 15, 16 years Zinfandels. Mm-hmm. Rocking. It was hard to find one that wasn't at least decent.
Well, what
good.
About New Zealand Sauvignon Blancs? The 18 vintage was atrocious. And when we had a well-known value-priced Sauvignon Blanc from, what was it, Brancott?
Yep.
It was horrendous. Same thing with that Oyster Bay we had, which is solid. These aren't great wines, but they're solid.
Yeah.
It was horrendous. Why? Because the 18 vintage was that bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was horrendous, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't the standard we've come to expect from New Zealand Sauvignon Blancs.
I would say, like, beyond the normal variation, you know?
Yeah.
So, tonight, this is what we did. We pitted the Martin Ray versus the Cow Coup. California wins, by the way.
Yeah. The favorite one.
USA.
But coming into this episode, if I'd known one was Chilean and one was Californian, and we had to pick which one we thought, I would have picked the Chilean.
I know, but you switched them. You got the Chilean, the Californian.
I know,
switched.
But I'm just saying.
My gut told me it was South America.
Which
with
one?
With the green on the second one.
Well, you should have. Yeah, the nose was all South American.
The nose was just an oddball.
And they put 10% Carmenier and 5% Petit Verdot in the Cow Coup as well. So it's 85, 10, 15.
That could be where the acidity came from.
I don't know. I mean, I think that a lot of the greenness is just inherent, and I think it's just a bad vintage. You just don't buy 16 Chilean Cabernets. I don't care where they are. Don't buy them.
And it's certainly not current vintage.
No, always check current vintage. Check vintages on this stuff. Don't, if you're like, oh, there's Santa Carolina Cabernet in my grocery store. What vintage is it? Because if you look at it pretty closely, that's a 15 that you're looking at. You don't want to buy that. They don't do too well. 18, buy it. 15, that's for the trash can. So, congratulations, United States. You rarely win. Today you won.
Congratulations to Scott.
Hey, you've been winning. When the last time we did this? The Mason. The last time we
against that lousy, against New Zealand. I mean, everybody could beat New Zealand. that's true.
Somebody was salty about that.
She was very angry.
Really angry.
Yes. I don't remember.
Oh, you were.
You were very upset.
Oh, my Lord.
You tried to hold down the classy Mason.
I don't remember that at all.
You were very upset.
You were upset.
It's not a memory I have.
You're still angry.
Still, she's got her walk-in closet finished now. So.
Not completely. But that's okay.
Well, you got to hang clothes back up.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. And put Rob's side together.
Oh, there's more installation to be done.
Nah, it's just hanging shit. It's not too bad.
Yeah.
That's my side. It'll take half an hour. So, folks.
Yes. For your side, did you get like the extra heavy duty to hold all the corduroy? No.
Oh, it's just crazy. Okay. Anyway, it's so funny. How about all your totes with your fat man clothes? Did you throw those away yet?
Skinny clothes. The fat man clothes already got thrown away.
Oh, you broke the fat man clothes probably out. You're like, I got to get a couple of those. And you're like, hey, is that a moo-moo?
No, we donated 6 bags of clothes today.
Yes, we did.
So far.
We did.
Again, and you guys had gone through, you'd gone through some consolidation earlier this year.
Mm.
Or was that, and that was pre-pandemic. Or you were watching some consolidation shows.
Oh, like Marie Kondo. Yeah.
I don't know what you're watching.
It was pre-pandemic, I think.
This is like the beginning of my projects for Rob, because now that we have the dresser out, the dresser goes upstairs, we start doing this rotation of furniture.
Why are we doing all that?
I don't know, Rob. Why are we doing that?
Well, I can tell them why we're doing that.
Go ahead.
Folks, there will be a fourth Dern forthcoming. Triple B, when she's on the show, is drinking very small amounts and spitting because she's been pregnant for quite some time now. How long has she been pregnant?
That would 27 weeks. I don't have an answer to that.
So there will be another Dern, not named Skatina.
Every time you say there will be another Dern, we don't know the gender. We're not going to find the gender out. Mm. But every time it's you girl. Say that, you I dumbass. Think there's another Dern boy. That's there what I keep and Dern keep. Boy.
Just the way it is. So they can burn the house down. Good thing I'm insured by Craig Walters Insurance. For auto, home, or life, please give Craig a call. I did this week. So.
Is that what, did he call you or did you call him?
Well, no. He's not allowed to call me. That's be solicitation.
Oh, he sends smoke signals.
Yes, I just felt like, you know what? Fuck Allstate. I'm going to call Craig. So that's what I did. Anyway, folks, we're going to bid you adieu tonight because we have to finish off these bottles. But nevertheless, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we're going to bid you adieu and see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.